Fresh Takes. Hello, and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Custer, Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up here with Meme to talk Daredevil, Born Again, Episode 9, the finale, the title, the very misleading title.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, straight man. To hell.
We talk about that right away. When I saw
yes,
the title,
we are.
I was
we
like,
are.
Holy shit, we were right. I got so hyped. When I saw the title, it was just like, oh, it was just such a troll.
I saw the title afterwards. So, like, I watched the episode, and I'm like, okay, this is... We'll talk about, like, it's not exactly like, what yeah. I was expecting, but I'm like, it's more or less what I was expecting, except for the whole giant shift, mid-season yeah. shift that they did. But, yeah, I saw the title afterwards, and I was just like, you're so close.
Yeah.
You are so close to the greatest idea you could have had for the finale.
I saw the title right before I watched it. So I was just like going into it like, oh yeah. And then within like the first 5 minutes, I was like,
no,
it's not happening. Is it? I thought we
could have had it. Could have had Muse, Daredevil fight in hell. Daredevil meeting Mephisto, making the deal. Punisher doing the street fighting. I mean, we got that part of it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
So, yeah. All right. Daredevil. Straight to hell.
Yeah.
Metaphorically. Not literally. Like we were hoping and suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get into it. What happened? Flashback confirmation. Vanessa hired Bullseye to kill Foggy Nelson. It was confirmed. I don't really know if we needed that confirmation, but I guess, like, confirmation's good.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about her last week about how we were wondering if, like, there was going to be any payoff. And they did confirm it, but there was not any payoff.
Yeah, it was like, okay, cool. I guess they're not lying.
Yeah.
That was, like, the only thing I got from that scene. I was like, is there any more to this? It seems like something else is there. But really, it just was kind of an explanation. Not really. It was like, okay, she.
I feel like
hired
Vanessa's
him.
Basically, yeah, she's basically just like an extension of Kingpin. Like, she never really got like her own anything. Like, anything that she does is just kind of attributed to Kingpin, anyways. So, like, it doesn't really matter what
like
she did. If she was the one that did it.
Like, she's more or less carrying out the sins of Kingpin rather than, like, carrying out her own sins.
Yeah, making
other
her own,
than cheating.
Yeah. Right. Right, which is apparently the worst sin.
Well, according to Wilson, yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Alex got the shorthand of that deal.
Yeah, the real, yeah.
I mean, he wasn't the cheater, but, like, how dare you?
Yeah, I mean,
sleep
he was,
with
like...
a married woman of a convicted man.
Yeah, he wasn't even, like, convicted at the time. Didn't she say he disappeared for 4 years?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, is that even cheating at that point? Like, realistically, like, you know, probably
I mean, I think he was convicted after season 3.
Yeah, but I think, I thought they were talking about something after, like, the Echo show or something.
Oh, yeah, after, like, Echo, he, like... Disappeared
on his, yeah, apparently for 4 years is what she said, and that's when he had.
Was it 4 years? This seems like way too long of a time.
Yeah, I feel like I vaguely remember her saying 4 years, but I could be wrong. But I usually pretty good with numbers like that.
When it comes to the MCU, like current timeline, I have like no idea what's fucking going on because it feels like in the movies and the shows, barely any time is passing since the whole blip. But like it's like been 4 or 5 years, so I'm just like,
yeah, like are
I don't
caught
know.
Back up with the timeline in the MCU now because they jumped ahead and like they were in the future and now are we?
I don't
like,
know.
Caught back up with the present.
I don't know. I feel like we're maybe a year off. I don't know these days. I barely knew like before the whole blip.
Right.
And then Homecoming came out, changed the whole timeline, and then they started doing time traveling shit, and I don't. Does anyone know? Now it's
Kevin
multiverse.
Feige.
I don't know, man. I don't know. All right, moving on. Bullseye escapes, and Matt is hospitalized. That's about it. Yep. Fist takes, or he cuts power off to the city, and they basically go into martial law. Did they really explain why Wilson Fist took the power off in the city? I think it was understood that.
Like some sort of lockdown procedures they had for the city. And by like shutting everything down, it also stops like communication from people and stuff like that, like as a containment thing.
Right.
Like, I don't know if that's really like a level that they go to or like something that they would do.
Yeah, like, it seems
real life, but I guess that was my understanding of his justification for it.
Yeah, I guess like if you're going into martial law area where you're more or less becoming like the city czar, the city like, you know, controller, and you have the ability to turn off the power in one little, you know, press of a button or press of a lever. It makes sense, but like it just, I never understood like, why are you turning off the power? Why are you going into the martial law? The why part still is like, because you got shot by one man. Like Bullseye is that deadly.
Yeah.
But I don't know how shutting off the power, it just seems like all of a ruse.
Yeah, well, I think that was definitely it. Like, it was, it's meant to help him grab more power, basically, by doing that.
Yeah.
It puts him, you know, head above, and then afterwards he gets to come out and claim about how he saved the city and all this stuff and try to play the hero. Right.
Yeah. Like, that part I get. I don't understand, like, the why. It's just like, I'm going to do all these things. It's like, okay. Fisk sends his hitman or his right man, right hand, I'm going to get shit done man, Cashman, to kill Matt Murdock. Matt Murdock senses this and he walks away.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that they made it seem like some time had passed already.
Yeah.
Because they said that he was like unconscious for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting the vibe that it had been a couple days, but that doesn't really make sense with the fact that why would you wait a couple days to shut down the city after something like that? I feel like it'd be a pretty immediate response. So I'm a little confused about that. And also,
I got hours.
Like, yeah. Also, like our complaints from or discussions from last week, a little disappointed with how easily he just shrugs off a sniper shot to the chest.
Which I think is like kind of when it comes to any like superhero getting shot to the chest, it's just kind of like, okay, he's probably not dead.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's not a whole lot of consequence to it.
Yeah. I didn't think he was going to die, but I mean, you would hope it would at least be somewhat debilitating for a time, you know?
Well, we can't have cool fight scenes, Brandon, if he's debilitated. Like,
see,
come on now.
But then why shoot him in the chest? They could have just, like, shot him in the arm or something.
Dramatic effect?
Yeah, see, I don't like any of that.
This
like,
is
if you're going to do it, do it. It would have been way more interesting if, like, he was actually, by the way, like... I know you're just playing devil's advocate. But, yeah, it would have been way more interesting if he was, like, actually incapacitated, like, Punisher had to go and save him from the hospital.
Or if he died momentarily and went to literal hell... Straight to it, fought Muse, made a deal with the devil, came back. Reborn again.
Devil reborn, born again.
Like, I don't know. It was, I'm just saying it was there. Like, it was there.
Maybe that's how season two ends, Jake. Maybe that's supposed to be the end of the show.
This was the moment.
I agree. Like, you can't do it again.
All right, we'll get into it. Let's get what happened. Yeah. All right, so Murdock escapes home, finds that Frank Castle is waiting there for him, and does the whole, like, you know, you're the last person I suspected. Which makes sense, in the sense of, like, you know, there's been, you know, like a year has passed. But for us audience members, it's like, who else would be there?
Mm-hmm.
You're the only one who showed up in the show this season.
Right. Out of
everybody
all
else
of the...
would have been out left. Yeah.
All of the potential people they could have had. He's the only one, so it was definitely going to be Punisher.
Should have been fucking Star Lord.
Yeah, I mean, that would be crazy.
Would have been just, like,
just back in New York. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad it was. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I love the Punisher. But yeah, definitely was pretty obvious where the story was going.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, Miss Marvel is like the only other hero that would have made sense just based off like the writing of the show, because she's the only one that's been mentioned
Yeah.
several times on one episode. Hey, did you know that Miss Marvel is the hero of New Jersey? Like, you
Great.
really like Miss Marvel for whatever reason. Why is that?
Yeah.
All right. So Matt Murdock goes home. Frank Castle's there. Pretty much warns him that, hey, they're coming to kill you, Matt Murdock. He puts on a suit and they brutally fight the AVTF, Anti-Vigilante Task Force. Was a really good fight. You have basically Frank be like, I'm going to kill the way I kill. You have him just blasting people with a shotgun. Matt Murdock just being like, no, what are you doing? As he's,
Fighting personally too.
Billy clubbing people in the head with like blood being sprayed out of the other end. So it's just like, yeah, you kill him, but dude, you're giving him like brain trauma to the point where like it's going to take months, if not years, to recover. It's like, it's not better. Like,
Right.
how dare you
It's shades of
smack?
violence. Yeah.
It's like,
It's all violence at the end of the day.
are you, I don't know. Arguably, Frank Castle's ethically a little bit like, there's an argument that Frank Castle's more ethical than Matt Murdock. Just there is an argument. Is it
Yeah,
better to
like
give
merciful in
someone,
a way.
kill someone just straight up in the moment, or brutalize them to the point where it takes years of recovery?
Yeah, not to
Which
mention the
one's
mental
better?
trauma, yeah, the
Yeah, that.
PTSD and stuff.
Yeah, just not much better, Matt.
Yeah.
I just had to make that point.
Ironically, I think Spider-Man's probably like, well, maybe not ironically, but the best hero at actually like fighting people without hurting them.
I had the thought of like, what if Spider-Man was in the room with all three of them?
Like trying to
One,
web people up while they're getting just murdered. Yeah.
you'd be freaking out, but I'm like, you can't do this with this, like, with this group. It has to be Daredevil, or it has to be Deadpool. Like, Deadpool's the one where he freaks out. Like that's the dynamic I want that from.
The
But
extreme, yeah.
yeah, Spider-Man can literally punch people's heads off, and like he's not doing the damage that these two are doing. He's pulling his punches like every single time. All right. It is revealed that Cold North is the guy who killed White Tiger. Matt gets really tempted to kill him. He does not. So Frank Castle then kills a bunch of people trying to convince him. And again, we just look to brain trauma. I
And
don't
he
remember if
dies
he died
anyway.
or.
Yeah, because
No,
their
yeah.
apartment blows up with a
Oh, right.
grenade and they jump out of the window.
And he's
Yeah.
dead anyway. So all
Yep.
that. Cole North, one of the big comic book characters from Chip Zdarsky's run, actually, Chip Zdarsky had asked, like, hey, your original Daredevil character, like, he was in the show, but he wasn't, like,
Your character at all.
yeah. And he's just like, what happened? He's like, you know what? I'm just, as soon as I leave the project, it's no longer my character. They do whatever they want. It's just cool to see him in the show. But honestly, I'm just happy he showed up because now I get paid. And that was
That's
it. And I was like, fair.
respectable. Yeah.
I mean, fair enough. And like he talked more about it, but he's just like, you know what? My character is safe in the story that it's in. What happens afterwards is it's on them. But my character that I wrote is he's safe in the book. Like that character is there. But I also get paid now. So, it's whatever. And I'm like, that's again, fair. It's like, cool.
Absolutely.
So yeah, grenade, they go tumbling down. Perfectly fine. And guess who shows up to put lights on him?
The only other person that hasn't been in the
It's
show
not
again.
Foggy Nelson, that's all I'm gonna say. Ellen Page, very
Karen
conveniently. Did
Page.
I say Ellen Page?
Yeah. You're watching too much Last of Us.
I am. Karen Page shows up very conveniently, and they all take a lovely car ride away from there. Paige and Matt try to find out afterwards that Fisk is trying making New York into a city state. Frank goes after the AVTF at Red Hook, gets captured, brutally beats a lot of those police officers. Those police officers being like, "We're one of you. We're doing your message," and him just being like, "Do you even know what the fuck I am?" Which is very like, I feel like politically speaking, it feels like it's just talking directly to the police that are like taking up the Punisher logo. Like, we are the Punisher. It's like, you don't even know who the character is. You don't understand him. Very just one on one.
Yeah, you should be following Captain America, just like Punisher said.
Yeah.
Got him.
Sheila exposes Gallo, who's, you know, more or less trying to stop Kingpin. Kingpin brutally does his best mountain impression and squashes his head in.
Wild. Just, I sat up in my seat when that happened. I did not expect it. It was not like that.
It was, I like, as soon as like the head crushing came, I was just like, oh, we're getting it, aren't we?
Yeah.
And just,
not only was that a great head crush, that might have been one of the best head crushes I've seen, like, in horror movies, too, as far as just, like, bare hand. Like, that was brutal. Like, his jaw comes off, his skull caves in.
It's probably one of the most brutal. I think, I still think Auburn from Game of Thrones is probably up there. It's still probably,
it's really that personal, yeah. And the eyes, going in through the eyes makes it a lot worse. That's fair.
But it's definitely a number two. It's definitely this, like, okay. And then the YouTube, they were showing like behind the scenes and like how they made that scene work. Like, that was fun to watch. It's like, okay, god damn, those, the prosthetics was on point. I'm like, that, like, if I was a character and I had to die, I'm like, that's a pretty brutal fucking way that I would
getting your head crushed by Kingpin. Hell yeah. I like that way.
Pretty dope. Fist then declares martial law officially, outlaws vigilantes, imprisons several vigilantes, including Swordsman and Frank Castle, among several other people. Heather Glenn now works under Fisk out of just nowhere. She is like, what is it, the Department of Mental Health?
Yeah, the head of the
or something.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah. Matt Murdock is now working with a resistance group with Cherry, Karen Page, and a bunch of other people, a bunch of other good cops. I think, I forget the one lady's detective that she was there.
The one that handled the hostage situation at the bank.
The one with the very basic hostage, like, police detective talk.
Yeah, definitely had no time to be, like, established as a character at all. I think she's also the same person that's in Peacemaker, right? That plays, like, the cop that gets taken over by the one of the butterflies. Ends up being like, maybe the I think it's the same girl. I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure it is.
She probably has more of a personality in that show than this one.
Yeah,
this one, she's just like detective police chick. Like that. Yep. Like, that's it. Like, that's her character.
That's her name too, I think.
Detective police chick.
Yeah.
What is it? In our D&D group, single white lady or something. Like, it's just every time, like, all right, single female white lady coming through. We make jokes sometimes. They're not all sexist. Okay. Moving on. All right. That is what happened in the show. Yeah. I'm sure we can talk a lot more in detail. I do remember just, like, piercing through this, like, today, some scenes. Like, these cops are just randomly, like, shooting kids in the fucking street.
Yeah. There's Pat Down's like, oh, he's a mass vigilante.
Yeah, some bullshit like that. Bunch of, you know, people rioting. What do we think of this episode?
So, I have some thoughts.
Okay.
So the first thing I'll say is, I had one thought going through my head the entire time I was watching this episode.
Yeah.
And that was, why wasn't this, like, four episodes ago?
Yeah.
Why didn't stuff start to happen four or five episodes ago?
There is an answer.
Yeah, there is an answer. It's not a good answer. It's not an answer that makes me happy. But yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking the whole time, was just that finally it feels like something is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Things are moving, you know? And it was frustrating, like, bittersweet, because this is the season one finale now, and it very much, like, felt like a mid-season finale. Like, mentioned that earlier. Like, it was designed to be a mid-season thing, right? Because it's two cut in half, and it doesn't feel very good to leave like that, because nothing gets resolved at all. You just get, like, a bunch more problems, and then that's it. It's like, what's the conflict? What's the conflict? Here's the conflict. End of show.
They, like, montage, like, a whole bunch of shit at the end, where it's like, wait, what? They're in a city-state? and there is a resistant movement, and that, okay. Like, yep. I'm excited for season two, but the fuck, we get like two cool fight scenes, and that, like, that's fucking it.
Yep. Maybe three, I guess. The Muse one wasn't bad.
No. I mean, like, in this episode alone, two cool fight scenes, and that's it.
I don't even know if you could say two of them.
At least one. One great fight scene.
The Punisher and Daredevil is good.
All right. I got some questions. Not a whole lot of questions, but I got some questions. Which ending is better? The ending that we came up together, or the ending that we got?
Oh, well, I mean, absolutely the ending that we came up with.
We totally set ourselves up for disappointment. Yeah. Masterpiece, absolutely. Brandon. Masterpiece.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But I do think that it was better than what I was, like, worried it was going to be.
True.
So I kind of fell in the middle of my spectrum, I guess.
I think I was expecting more just because I just kept hearing people talk about the finale. Oh, it's breathtaking, masterful, you know. And I was expecting this really well-written story that, like, it was shit season, shit writing, and then just somehow somebody came in with, like, a really wonderfully told finale that wrapped everything up with a really cool fight scenes that we've been getting throughout the season. Like, that's what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting the Mephisto going straight to hell. I knew that wasn't going to happen, even with the misleading title.
Yeah, goddamn, it's like they're trolling us.
It seems like it. But I don't hate it. It sets us up for something exciting. I really like where they got to. I really feel like this could have been a lot better. I feel like this could have been like the Empire Strikes Back ending, the Infinity War ending that I think they were trying to set us up for. It's just they didn't do a good job. Obviously, the people who were, you know, took over originally were making a show that was very MCU tied in, but just the story wasn't well written. So the people that took over, like they did episode one, which was excellent, got me and you pumped. You know, last episode was pretty solid, got us really excited for the finale, and then did this, which is exciting. Just for a season as a whole, I'm like, it's more or less setting up another season. Like, it's like, hey, hold on, we got something more exciting, but here, we'll give you the Daredevil Punisher, like, fight scene that you've all wanted.
Yep.
I'm like, okay. Like, I guess we'll have to wait a whole another year to get the Daredevil show that we were hoping for.
Right, actually.
Even though we got the Daredevil show that we were hoping for originally, like, how many years ago? I don't know. All right. Question number two. Was getting shot consequential enough?
No.
Because it did hurt him. He was holding his shoulder here and there,
yeah. And then in some fights, he was totally fine seeming. And then other times, he's like, oh, I'm dying.
Yeah. His shoulder. Karen, look at it. Take care of me.
Yeah, I was not.
His shoulder was hurting a lot when she was around. I'm just going to say.
yeah, for the sympathy, you know.
As soon as they were in the hospital and, like, they were all kind of, like, surrounded him, Heather included, which we have to talk about Heather. Just the getting shot and, like, then, like, a couple hours, I thought it was, like, a couple hours later, you know, he's running for his life or walking away for his life, and then immediately puts on the suit and just, like, starts beating the shit out of people. It's just, like, what the fuck was the point?
See, yeah, right. That's exactly
why what I was get saying. Shot. What, like,
it would have been more interesting to see the Punisher, like, having to actually protect him,
right?
You know, like, protect Matt Murdock, not Daredevil. Like, he's not in any porn. You know, I would have been totally okay with that.
Yeah, to the point where, like, Matt couldn't, you know, like, you know, he took the time off and Punisher is stepping in, or other heroes have to step in. Like, that would have been at least interesting. But this whole, like, I'm going to get shot and then, you know, it doesn't really inhibit him. There's just like, what's the point of getting shot? I don't get it. It just, I know that the writing is.
I have a little theory.
Okay.
About something.
Let me finish this.
Yeah.
I just, from my perspective, I don't get why shoot him, because, you know, the whole like, oh, I stood up for, you know, my enemy, Bullseye's calling me out. I'm like, okay, I get that point. But there wasn't a follow through either. Bullseye, like, straight up fucked off this whole episode. We saw like
I have a theory.
Okay, let me hear it. Let me hear your theory.
So I read someplace about some Bullseye lore in the comics and stuff. And there is one point in the comics where Bullseye becomes like obsessed with Daredevil.
And
thinks that he is like the perfect being, essentially, and wants to like follow him around everywhere and like become him. And Matt's like, you know, leave me alone, whatever. But I think that that's what this is setting up. I think that that's why he took the bullet. I think that's why Bullseye just left instead of, because why would he leave? You know, he shot Matt Murdock on accident. Okay, well, you could still shoot Kingpin and everyone else right there. There's no reason for him to leave unless, like, it was like an epiphany moment for him. When he saw Matt jump in front of Kingpin, it was like, oh, this guy is basically Jesus to him. And because it also showed at the end, it showed Bullseye, like, in street clothes or whatever. And I'm pretty sure he was in their old office. It looked like it was their old office with him and Foggy. Yeah. So it's like he's looking for him. That's so kind of the vibe I was getting, that it was setting up a story for Bullseye.
That's still lazy.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. It should have still had consequences. It would have been still totally worth it to have the consequences of it. They still could have done it and had him be out of commission.
Or just like, you know, because he gets clipped more or less. And I think, like, cool. But it should have been more. Like, he should have, like, shot at least somebody else in that room. Like, Vanessa, or, like, maybe Kingpin gets hit, too. Just something. To me, it's just, like, you hit him once, and then there's no consequence. It's just, it's lazy, in my opinion. But I do think that makes sense, you know.
That's my theory, at least. I don't love it. But, yeah. I mean, it could be. I'm interested to see how that could play out. Like, imagine, like, Bullseye trying to join the Resistance and help Matt fight against Kingpin now. But Matt, I mean, like, the conflict between him and Bullseye, obviously, he killed Foggy. You know, he doesn't want him out, but at the same time, how useful would Bullseye be to something like that? So,
yeah, we'll see. I guess, like, there is a whole second part of the show that may or may less, like, there might be more to come.
I mean, I hope so.
It should have been this episode, at least, like, from the Matt standpoint.
There should have been more in this episode. At least there should have been some resolution of something in this episode. I don't know if they thought maybe that reveal of Vanessa shooting Foggy was supposed to be this big, like, oh my God, I can't believe it moment.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be the big resolution, but, like, who cares?
Yeah. They just shouldn't have been shot unless, you know, something happened. All right. Daredevil Punisher fight. Did it meet the mark?
For ultraviolence,
just in general, for like top fights for Daredevil.
I'm going through the list here. So for ultraviolence, I think, I mean, this is more brutal than Deadpool and Wolverine, right? Oh,
no, I don't think so.
You don't think so? See, I think so because these are, like, real people, right?
Right. Yeah.
That, like, most of, like, the violence in Deadpool and Wolverine is stuff that happens to Deadpool and Wolverine.
I think you could say that this is the most violent, like, the MCU has ever been. I think this is fair to say that.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. And then I'll say this. I don't know what it was about their ultraviolence, but there was something about it that looked... It was, like, almost too much. to where it made it look like fake. It's like they were overdoing some of the blood, the CGI blood spurting out everywhere and stuff like that. Like it kind of took you out of it a little bit. Like the Punisher show was so like also brutal, but like realistically brutal. And that's what made it like hit harder. And when you make it kind of cartoony like this, it does kind of take some of that edge off.
It was pretty cartoony. Like it was just like, look how violent they are with like every little, and then of course, just Matt like going
stabbing
like,
people in the throat.
No. And then just,
blood. I'm pretty sure he shot somebody through with his
thing
again. Yeah,
he did. So I really like I think I think the fight scene, specifically that fight scene, really made the episode. If that fight scene did not land, I don't think this is a good finale. I don't think I have good marks on this finale. It's really it made the show, and I think I can't say it's the. I don't even know if it's the best fight scene of this show in particular. It's either that or the Bullseye Daredevil scene from the beginning, but I don't know if it's the top three even in the show, because Bullseye, Kingpin, Daredevil from season 3 was really good, but then you have Bullseye Daredevil before that was also really good, and then all of course you have the hallway fights from season 1 and season 2 on top of the fact that Punisher Kingpin prison fight is also way up there. I think it's in consideration.
Yeah, I think
I don't think it's number 1.
No, I don't think it's number 1, especially with like the cartoony ultra violence. I mean, if that's how they want to go with it, then like I'm fine with it, you know.
Same.
But I guess let's stay consistent, I guess. You know, like some stuff would be like really brutal, and then it's like if you want to go for that comic, you know, big blood splattering kind of stuff, like that's cool. But, like, commit to it then, I guess, is what I'd have to say.
Yeah, especially you get shot and then big blood splatter, but you're perfectly fine, but everybody else is just dead.
Yeah. I mean, Kingpin's suit was covered in blood.
A lot more blood, a lot more violence.
It's
like, I'm cool with it. I don't know. I would much prefer the writing of Netflix than the violence that this show brings.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it makes the trade-off worth it by any means, because I still think that like the original Punisher show and stuff was more brutal.
In voice,
like, as far as if like that's the mark, because I think that's kind of like that's the highlight of the fight, right? Is just like Punisher killing all the cops over and over again.
Yep.
I mean, Daredevil's just doing his Daredevil things for the most part,
complaining.
Yeah. So I mean, like the fight is the ultra violence, which is good, but I do think that the original Punisher show did the ultraviolence better. It's just more real.
More real and
grounded.
Grounded, and it wasn't like the highlight wasn't the violence itself. It was the meaning of the fight. You know, like I think, again, season 3 of Daredevil, like that fight was great, not because of the action itself, but just the personal storytelling. This one was an escape scene that ended up with a grenade.
Yep.
And like,
Go on. I was going to say, I think the grenade is kind of a cop-out, right? It kind of like gives them an excuse to kill everybody because they were all going to die anyways. So but it also kind of makes all of it irrelevant.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. It kind of was the cop-out because it was like, oh, should we kill him? Should we not kill him? Grenade! Okay, I guess he has to die. All right, Cold North, Killer of White Tiger. Does that reveal do anything?
No. Once again, there's just like no care. Like maybe if they would have been like investigating it more, like especially since they just dropped like he found that bullet casing right away. Like we knew it was just one of the cops. Like it didn't matter like which one. Yeah, they're all the same. Like none of them had moments. I guess the one guy, the main cop asshole. That gets his
I thought it was
to
be him.
Yeah, right. Like that was the only one that had like any sort of like actual stakes behind him. Like Cole Norris was just like a character and name. We didn't see him do anything.
Really? Yeah. For me, it was just like cool. He was the killer. Does it matter? It doesn't matter. Yeah. All right, Frank and Paige, they came back. Is their cameo a little too much?
Yeah.
Like, in least, yeah. like, believability or even storytelling-wise, like, aha, they made it back.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, they didn't have to say the Punisher was in another country or whatever.
Mm.
I mean, they didn't have to go like that. I like the idea of, it makes sense, like, with Karen calling Punisher and being like, yeah. hey, because, you know, Daredevil's not going to reach out to him. Obviously, that's not going to reach out to him. So, like, that part makes sense. But, yeah, it definitely felt, especially, like, that part where she pulls up in the car. Like, were we supposed to applaud yeah. when she got out of the car? Like, oh, my God, like it's Karen Page.
Like, we're in the yeah. theater, just like, yeah, go Karen.
That's what it felt like they wanted. But
go, Ellen, go.
I don't understand why she just, like, wasn't a character in the show. Like, why did they have to? I guess because she wasn't in the rebooted one, and they wanted to bring yeah. her back for that, so that's why. But it just makes it yeah. feel very cameo-like.
Well, the characters we got weren't really characters, like, yeah. at all. Like, Cherry.
Aside from Heather, I guess.
Cherry's just like, you know what? Make him Mike from Breaking Bad, and that's it.
But way less cool.
Way less cool. Make him personable, Matt. Like, don't do Daredevil stuff.
Yeah, like, even though he knew him as Daredevil the whole time.
Like what was it, Kristen, too, was just like, make her get mad when Matt starts not doing his lawyer stuff. Hmm. Like, that was her character. Heather even barely was a character. Like, make her question him. And
a very frustrating, you know, character to watch.
Just make her, it was just, okay.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't get really any characterization of these characters.
There's Daredevil, there was Fisk, and I mean, that was pretty much it.
Don't forget about, wait, what was his name? Daniel? Blake?
Oh, Muse? Yeah.
No, not Muse,
oh.
Daniel.
Oh, yeah. I do.
Tony Soprano Jr.
Yeah. One of the highlights of the show, I'll give him that. When he is on screen, especially like his slow descent you see throughout the season, I am here for it. I really liked at the end when he's in the city council and he's just like full on mafia. He's got his chest hair out and the gold chain. And he's just dressed like Tony Soprano. And I was like, all right, he's all in now.
He shows up later in the outline. I have a spot for him.
Okay, sorry. Jump in the game.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. I did. Frank versus police inspired by Punisher, on point or too corny?
Oh my God, so frustrating. I was like yelling at my TV. Why? The whole he just walks in there and gets caught immediately is so frustrating.
Like,
how contrived do you have to be? Like,
I'm going to say too corny. They could have made that. Like, there was no buildup. It was just kind of like what we expected, and it wasn't good. It was just, okay, Frank, you're going to go do this thing.
Yeah, but just, like, walking into a trap immediately is just, like, so not the Punisher. So, like, the only way that it makes sense is if, like, he did it on purpose, which I guess we'll find out in...
Oh, don't you just love that? Dude, that's, like, the smartest scheme.
Yeah.
Getting caught on purpose. Mm. And then just fucking around and pretending like that's your plan the entire time. Like, that is...
It's the hindsight.
That is like the play here, you know.
Yeah, I think.
Wait,
that's
that's the villain play. Fuck.
Yeah,
Frank Castle's so confusing.
Yeah, they didn't even put him in a glass cage.
Oh God damn it! I really hate.
I was very.
Can I just enjoy bad writing?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I can't. I'm sorry.
Continuing with that, because with the Punisher scene, they had such a moment too where they could have had a cool part when he was captured and they were like torturing him. Mm-hmm. Like, that was kind of a letdown too. Like, Frank Bernthal, great actor, great acting, and not his fault, 100% the writing. Like, he could have said so much more like profound things. I don't know. I don't even remember what he was saying. He could have just said the quote from the comic book. You know, he could have about, you know, you shouldn't be looking up to me. I'm not, you know,
looking
up to Captain America. Like, then they get to tie in some MCU stuff too. That would have been so much better.
Sam Wilson, Captain America.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously.
But yeah, no, I agree. It's just like you should be looking up to him. He's a role model. Like, I'm just fucking killing people that you're not taking care of.
Yeah, I am not justice.
Yeah, and I'm just like, there's so much more. I'm like, you're trying to do a thing, but you're not doing it. You're half-assing it. There's no half-assing it. All right. Fist declares martial law. Believable. Too believable.
I mean, that was the most interesting like aspect of the show. As far as like, it actually felt like there was something happening in the show aside from just like inconsequential fights. Because like when Daredevil's fighting with somebody, like, you know he's not going to die, right? And so there really hasn't been any stakes on anything. And it was like the first time it felt like there was actually some stakes.
Characters we don't care about.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
White Tiger's niece.
Yeah.
His girlfriend, who doesn't like Daredevil.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Those people in the bank. Miss Marvel's dad.
That's true. That's true. We gotta give him some credit.
Kingpin himself was, you know, at stake. Until Matt, you know, saved him with very little consequences.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, I feel like I'm trying to be an asshole here. Okay.
It wasn't that bad. It was fun to watch.
It was a fun
There was some frustrating things. I think the most frustrating thing was the Punisher part for me. And I know it's probably going to be some thing in the back where he's like, "Oh yeah, I was trying to get caught and stuff like that." But like, it was just such a dumb plan if that was his plan. Like, and also, why didn't they kill him?
That's it. Because they
okay, so maybe they don't kill him, but why does Fisk keep him alive?
That doesn't make sense either. When you're trying to kill like the lawyer Matt Murdock.
Yeah, you're like the anti-vigilante guy, yet you're gonna keep the Punisher alive. Like, what, do you think you're gonna flip him or something? Like, what is the point of that?
Because
so he can escape. Yeah, that's why they kept him alive.
Just think of Scott Evil. What are you gonna do? Keep him alive? Oh, you're gonna not watch his death. He's just gonna escape again.
Yep. Yeah.
And what happens? Yep. Frank Castle escapes.
Yeah.
All right. Heather Glenn, Matt's girlfriend, she fucking betrays him, right? Like her taking the job with Fisk immediately after getting shot, after Matt also being like, if you get near him, like, he's trying to get to you to get to me.
Mm.
Like, has this warning, gets shot, saving him. She immediately takes a job after him declaring martial law. That's betrayal, right? Like, there's no other way behind it.
Extreme stupidity. Although, to give Heather a little credit, at any point, Matt could have attempted to explain more of the situation.
That's true.
But he did not.
I honestly don't care that, like, she betrayed him. I don't think, like,
I'm happier with her not in the picture, to be honest. But I know she's probably going to continue to be somewhat relevant.
Fair. I agree. But, like, on her, like, from the relationship standpoint, they shouldn't be together. It's pretty clear. From, like, her betraying Matt also, I'm like...
But he called up for Karen when he woke up. He betrayed her first.
Oh Matt, who's Karen? Well, I did think it was just weird though. It's like, you know, your boyfriend just got shot, now he's like disappeared, and you're taking a job after like all this is happening. I question Heather a little bit. It just, she's shady, man. I don't know anything about her other than, like, she doesn't like vigilantes, and she's shady.
Yeah, and she's from Boston?
Queens.
Get that wrong every time.
Can't trust anyone from Queens, ever.
Just alienate that whole city.
You never know what type of insects they could wind up being. All right. Murdoch and crew, who will join for season 2?
Okay, so now we're getting into the good stuff, right? So if Spider-Man is not in season 2,
I don't think he can
probably
be.
Won't be.
Can't be, I don't think.
Then how does any of this make any sense? How does Fisk shut down the city and declare martial law and start doing all this stuff without Spider-Man being involved?
Okay, so let's think about it from like a logical standpoint. Who needs to be here fighting for the city?
Yeah.
Whoever had ties to New York. So let's do the countdown, okay? Daredevil, Punisher, obvious. Jessica Jones.
Yeah, all of the Defenders.
Really. Luke Cage. Iron Fist, maybe. I think Iron Fist is the one that's like, you know, he could be fucking off in a temple somewhere. Like, yep.
But okay. Like Luke Cage is like born and bred New York.
Harlem.
Yeah.
Who else needs to be involved? Spider-Man. Miss Marvel, who also was mentioned on the show. Yeah.
She was mentioned, like hinted at quite heavily.
You can be like, well, she's on Jersey City. It's like, Bucky Barnes, who is now a congressman for New York.
Okay. From Captain America.
Sam Wilson has ties to New York. Also saved New York City in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Realistically, like an evil kingpin taking over a massive city, you would think that would get everybody from all of the American heroes involved.
Where the fuck is Thor, guys?
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
he was in New York once.
Yeah. Probably a couple times, right?
I'm trying to think who else would. I mean, it's a decent like street
level. Yeah.
Oh, Hawkeye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah. I mean,
how are they not there?
Right, they have the connection with Kingpin already.
You could also go, you know, Nova from Black Widow. You could argue U.S. agents. You can argue like Thunderbolts. All
of those Thunderbolts, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Riri Williams. They are
like the American Avengers or like the government's Avengers,
from
right?
Chicago. Yeah, it's just like, it just seems like this is very much a Avengers team up, Defenders team up type of. So. Who are we going to get?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we get the Punisher, we get the Ragtag Crew, and I don't know. I honestly don't know if we get anybody that we listed.
Maybe Luke, you think at least Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would be down for that. I'd be really down for that.
Like a Defenders team up with Punisher. And
that would be I could maybe excuse Spider-Man not being there if we actually got, like, the Defenders. But... Mm. That would still be tough to swallow.
That would make
it tough to swallow no matter what.
Spider-Man would have to show up. I'm like, Disney, make it work.
Yeah,
like, figure it out. It should happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you already have him for the movies. That shouldn't have happened. You made it happen. It was the biggest, probably one of the coolest fucking things we've seen.
Just fucking pay Sony all the money that they want. You're telling me you can't afford to pay them what they want? They're not doing anything with Spider-Man.
How do you explain this? Like, gets shoot up through the Secret Wars? Like, how do you explain Spider-Man not being there? Also, like,
unless
it's
his
Kingpin.
Next movie is, like, another interdimensional. Like, this is the perfect point, right? Mm-hmm. You get, like, you know, Kingpin can't be in a movie. Well, I guess Spider-Man can't be in a TV show. So, I guess it just doesn't happen.
Maybe it doesn't end. Maybe what ends up happening is that there is... a movie with Daredevil, Punisher, and Spider-Man that, you know, finishes up the storyline.
But we know that's not going to happen, though, right? Because there's...
No.
This is the first half of a two-part season. You know that it's going to get resolved in the second half of the season.
It doesn't mean it... I don't know. Actually, I also pretty sure Kingpin said he can't be in a movie, and Spider-Man can't be
in a TV show.
Show, so they're just never destined to meet.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know, man. All right,
throw money at it, make it happen. What are they doing with their money, anyways?
Are we excited for the switch up of the city being a city state and there's a resistant group? Are we excited for this?
I'm excited for it if it like is actually real and has consequences.
You know, it gets undone. Season 2,
right? Yeah,
episode 1.
Yeah, that's the kind of vibes. You know, that's the kind of stuff that they've done before. Like, and you know, if it doesn't, like, this is something like kind of the MCU problem, right? is mm-hmm. that these things get scaled up so big all the time that there's no way that it wouldn't affect like the rest of the world to where, you know, like we're saying, every MCU character would have some involvement in this, at least most of them.
Yeah.
And it's not feasible for that to happen. I mean, just like in comics, they find a way to do it to, you know, to not have to include every hero into every story. But why does it seem so like fragmented in TV shows? Is it because they've worked so hard to build the MCU as this interconnected universe that we focus on that so much? It's all of the constant, everything is connected, whereas comics are just like a lot looser with their timelines.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that like comic books are a lot looser, so like you kind of just, you tell your story, and if it doesn't make sense, the only people that's really going to whine or bicker are those who are reading every single one of those stories. Hmm. So, you know, during crossover time, you know, and all these different stories start to like mix together, that's when people start complaining, because it's like, it doesn't quite make sense, because like this character is now doing all these things just so the like, and that's when people start complaining about like crossover events, is like characters start doing weird things to make the stories work. Hmm. But like in the movie universe, or like, you know, you have set stories that all these people have watched. So if you're not on top of that and you add a story and, you know, you make it a character do something that is completely against like another story, it's a lot harder. It's a lot more work. I think it's really doable. I think for a fan who's consumed all the content, for moviegoers to not have that consistency, it's just frustrating. So it's like, I am caught up. How are you not caught up? How are you not making this work? Like, it's hard, but it's not that difficult. But it's also just a writing thing, too. And I think this season is just like, we got to make this really good. We got to make this important. We got to, you know, we got to do all these things. It's like, okay, but like, if you're going to do these things, why don't you just, there's consequences. Like, if Matt's getting shot, make it matter.
If the city, like, if New York City is getting taken over by Kingpin, like, that's a big deal to the whole world.
Build up to it. Make it matter. Like, I think of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And this season reminds me a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, how it started out really shitty, and then just, like, they changed it up. Changed it up, and it worked really, really well because there was consequences. And we got to see the fallout of a lot of those consequences, and it just made the show. It literally made the show that had, you know, consequences for, you know, until
the, it was kind of a show built on like the MCU's consequences, wasn't it?
In a way? Well, first season.
Yeah,
I forget about second and third, and then it did its own thing. And a movie. Wait, no.
No movie. Not yet.
No movie. But
there's seasons, I think. I don't think I ever watched the last season. They started time traveling and like going to different universes, and I kind of fell off at that point.
I didn't watch season 7. It was really hard to be like, I don't see the point. It was really good up until then, and I'm pretty sure season 7 ended. It was, I hear like, it went, it's fine. I just didn't feel like I need to watch it anymore. But this show is just, I'm like, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for like to see like what the original team would do. Is just,
I feel, I like wish, like, oh, go ahead.
There was not enough. There wasn't enough work. There was not enough effort in writing, and it's like, I would be really more excited for this storyline if there was just more work built into it, where I felt confident of the consequences, like Infinity War. They built up to this moment where like the snap happened, and like we got to see the consequences of it.
Yeah.
And in Endgame, we got to follow those consequences. This show really feels like kind of an Infinity War moment, but we didn't have three phases. We didn't have three phases, you know, to build up to it. We had a season, but it really didn't build up to it. We literally had one episode, and this was the episode.
Yep.
That's so what it feels like. So am I excited? Yeah, because the people who wrote, you know, the beginning and the end of the season, it was rather good. It was the best parts of the whole season. Absolutely. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for them, you know, like if they had the fresh start, they built the premise, can they make something exciting? Yeah. But I'm like, they also just, they don't really have much work built into it. So I'm kind of just, I don't know.
We should figure out who that reporter was that called this a masterpiece. They ruined the show for us.
I really should. I don't think it really would have mattered, though. I think like my opinion would have probably been relatively the same.
I think like ultimately like the actual opinion would have been the same, but I think our attitude would be a lot different.
Yeah, it's like Daredevil's back.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that was actually like we'd probably be saying
it was fun.
Like one of the better MCU shows that's come out a long time.
Ooh, we're gonna do that afterwards. All right, season two predictions. So these are some ideas I have. I think it's gonna be hero team up. I think it's Defenders. I think Luke Cage, Jessica Jones.
It's gotta be right.
Punisher.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
I think it's going to, Miss Marvel shows up maybe. I don't know. Look, I think it's just going to be a hero team up with a lot of fights. I hear rumors of black suit Daredevil. I think it makes sense to the vigilante. Better season than the first one. That's my prediction. I think it's going to be a better season. Bullseye Unleashed. We're getting full fucking Bullseye. Costume.
I can see the full costume. I think we'll get the costume. But I do think that he's going to be on the resistance side.
What if he's just another Punisher?
Just goes around, just starts taking everybody out.
Just like, and he's effective as Punisher. And it's like, Matt, you can't get mad at him. Because you're letting Punisher do his thing.
Yeah. Right. That's a good moral question.
Fisk and Daredevil showdown for the ages. I think that's how the show ends. Even though this is like maybe the fourth or fifth showdown we get of them.
Right.
Frank versus Bullseye. I'm predicting it. I thought it was going to happen this episode. It did not happen. It should have. AVTF villain members, meaning Bullseye or other heroes, get recruited into the team. I think that's a good question of who would be a good villain that we would want to join.
Like an existing villain? That's already been in the MCU.
So Netflix or MCU, good villain members.
See, the thing with the Netflix shows is they killed off all their villains for the most part.
Did they kill off? I was like thinking, I'm like, well, Muse is dead.
Yeah. Because didn't, like, Kilgrave dies, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the original Netflix show, like, they killed off most of their villains. Like, The Hand, I guess they never really die, but, like, you know.
Elektra's.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, like, Luke Cage. I'm pretty sure he,
I was thinking Bullseye himself. Maybe he becomes a vigilante. Maybe he tries to be the Daredevil from Fisk, Fisk.
Okay. See, I still think, I think the other side. I think he's going to try to be on the Resistance.
I mean, he's the part that I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah.
And he's probably the most biggest disappointment of this episode is I wanted more Bullseye.
Yeah.
I wanted him unleashed.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Really see him aside from the flashback at the end, or like the cutscene.
Ooh, the frog from She-Hulk. Forget his actual name. I think it'd just be fun. A fun little like, oh, he's here. I'm trying to think who else would be good villain members. Scorpion, Homecoming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I'd be so mad if we get Spider-Man villains and no Spider-Man. We already have Kingpin. We already have the Sony universe. We don't need more Spider-Man villains without Spider-Man.
I assume we wouldn't get Spider-Man villains without Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I would assume, like, just because legally speaking, you wouldn't be able... You would have to get, like, a crossover villain. Like Kingpin. Yeah, I'm, like, short on, like, who would be the... Because in the comic books... City Rain or whatever it's called, it's on the wall somewhere. Other people join, like other villains join up with this. So I'm curious who, I just can't think of it. I'm thinking like Diamondback from Luke Cage, but I'm pretty sure he died.
That's what I'm saying.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Like, I feel like all of the like big bads from the other seasons, aside from like Fisk and Bullseye.
What? There'll be at least one. If it's not Bullseye, it's going to be at least somebody
else.
There's
got to be somebody else, especially if I think that Bullseye is going to be. It can't. There's got to be some more. Muse was a disappointment. We need some more action.
He's back. He's back, baby. All right. ratings for this. We're going to do ratings for both this episode and the season.
Okay. All right.
For this episode, I gave it a 4. I thought it looked great. Yeah. All the fights were fun. I thought the switch up was exciting. Just like at the end of the day, the writing felt shallow and forced, and it was
very much forced.
I think 4 is what I was going to say too. Oh man, sorry.
Like, it was good. It was a great episode. I can't complain about it because I thought just there was so much they could have done.
Yeah, but most of the complaints are just because of the previous work in the season.
Yeah,
like if this was more built up to properly, like this would have been like the big blow on episode. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But just how fast it all just comes on, it's like, oh, Kingpin's doing his thing now and deciding to kill everybody.
All right. For the season, is it a masterpiece? Are we giving it a 5, Brandon?
No.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately not. I really wish I was.
I have a rating, but I don't feel great about it.
There's one thing that keeps popping in my head, and it just keeps telling me 3+.
Wow. All right. That's where I'm at.
Really? Yeah.
Dude, your ADHD intuition is, 3+. The reason why I say 3+, because I'm like, I can see, if someone wanted to be like, this Daredevil TV show was, or this season was awful, like, it's a 2. I'm like, yeah, from a writing perspective, 2-, probably, maybe. Like, debatably. There's some good moments of writing.
Actually just like go through and tell the story of what actually happened. It's pretty bad.
It's not very great.
Disjointed and random.
But there's some like 4+, 5- moments with some of the fighting. Like it is. It looks great. There's some pretty cool moments. So I'm like, it's good. Mostly there's great moments that you're like, it kind of seems like a great TV show at times.
Mm. But then you get a long therapy session
with I just think of like the heist episode where it was like, yeah, it was fun. It's not great. It's not great anything, but it was fun. It's like a good times. Solid 3. And then there's moments where you're like, God damn, is this the greatest TV show of all time? Like there's moments like that where like the opening scene, I'm like, like the first episode is like, oh my, this is it. We're getting a really good fucking TV show. And then it just wasn't. And then it ended to be like, wow, that could have been a great TV show if the rest of the season was actually set up for this moment, but it wasn't. So yeah, 3+, but I feel like the 3+ is bad too. I think you could talk me down. Maybe it's just the 3.
Yeah.
It's hard to grade because I'm like, overall, it's kind of a mess of place.
Yeah.
It's a mess. But there's great moments. So it's like, we had some great acting. We have great fight scenes. It looks great at times. It's like,
can you imagine an improvement. If they would have like recast Daredevil and Punisher and stuff, and if they were just like random other actors, like how much worse would the show have been?
Yeah, 2.
Yeah, then it would have been. It really was like carried by their performances in a lot of the aspects.
It's, if this show had great writing, this would have been a 5-. If it had the Netflix writing from before. If we had to rank this comparably to the Daredevil Netflix show, and let's include Defenders, what's our ratings? And I know
it's been a long time since I've watched Defenders. Maybe it's just because there's more of the Netflix show to where like it actually had like concluded stories and stuff like that, but I still think the Netflix show is better.
Okay, we gotta rank the seasons. There's 5 of them.
Oh, you want me to rank them?
Like, yes, ranking. Rank them.
5. Oh, including this one. Okay.
Yes. And Defenders.
All right. So starting from the bottom, the worst, Defenders.
Yeah.
Season 2 of the Netflix show.
Okay.
Daredevil Born Again.
Yep.
Season one of the Netflix show, and then from what I've understood, season three of the Netflix show, even though I haven't quite finished rewatching it yet.
That's more or less where I'm at, I think. I think number five is Defenders. I don't...
Yep.
That's a show that...
excuse for a show.
It's one of those shows that's like, it's not... It's actually not terrible. It's just not good. Yeah. It's not good. There's moments. There's a hallway fight. Mm. That's a good moment, right?
Yeah. They're basically just like, hey, look, they're all together now.
Watch the show.
Without any like reason or interesting moments.
I put Born Again 4.
You put that over season 2 of... I really, the hands stuff.
There's a cohesive story. Like, it's boring. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I think,
like, as a whole product, I think season 2 of Netflix show is definitely more polished.
Yeah, that's why I have it higher up.
But I think this show was the interesting points were more interesting. Wow. Then again, I don't know. I mean, season 2 is the season with the Punisher.
So maybe
those scenes that he's
Fisk in versus Punisher, Punisher versus Daredevil, him all just going right. Red,
yeah,
Matt Murdock flirting around with Elektra instead of defending Frank and Karen.
The
hand shows up and does some random shit.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just the hand that's bad in that season.
It is. Good. I'm not going to fight you hard on it because I think the highs of Born Again is higher, but I think the lows are higher in season 2. Season 3 is the number one. Mm. Like, season 1's good. It's a cool, like, Kingpin Wilson Fisk origin story on top of Matt Murdock origin story. Like, it was blended very well. Mm. Season 3, though, just ends. It's just such a good show. All right. MVC, let's do both of the episode and of the show. I think the episode, I think we can agree on who the MVC is.
I really want to say it's Punisher, but I'm still
for the episode.
Yeah, for the episode. For the talking about this episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just don't know if I can with that half-assed plan of just walking in there with all those cops. Just getting
escaped at the end.
Immediately surrounded. I don't. That doesn't.
It was
make
his
it
plan.
Better. It's very frustrating.
Matt did jack shit.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, he's
that's
like
fair.
Matt. Matt literally got shot. Walked away, not run. Walked away. The entire fight scene complained about Frank killing people, and really well acted. By the way, like Charlie Cox is great. I still just like, Frank, no! And then immediately...
Yeah.
Sorry, I just can't get over like the little one scene. It's like, dude, you're doing the same thing, just a little less degree.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's a fair point that...
I gave it to Frank.
Yeah. So it almost makes me feel like that's not a good sign for this episode.
No.
When it's like a default MVC... Because, I mean, he had cool scenes, too, but just, like, yeah, if he would have went in there and, like, actually, like, lit him up, it almost felt like it was, like a cheaper, like, a budget thing, right? Like, oh, if we just have him get surrounded right away by all these cops, then we don't have to have a bunch of different scenes of him fighting them in the warehouse.
Transitioning.
Yeah. So we just do it all at once and get it over with. And
it doesn't even make sense in the beginning, because it's, like, at the end, he's like, oh, he's escaped, but it's, like... Why did she get captured in the first place? Mm. If he's just immediately going to escape, like, why would I give a fuck? Because he could have just like, oh, I saved you, Red. I'm going to go do my own thing now. Mm. And then like, that's it. That's where we like saw him. Like,
I would have rather seen than seen him get caught like that. And yeah, they did my part dirty.
I'm gonna say he's. Yeah, MVC, but it's not it's not a proud one. Maybe is it Ellen Page for making a phone call?
No.
Giving him. No. I like how I wrote Ellen
they're
Page
awkward,
in here.
Yeah. They're like awkward love talk of their
right.
love triangle.
Matt's MVC for the show, right? Like, the, by default.
Yeah, I mean, he is, like, the only, I mean, like, real character besides Kingpin in the show.
Yeah, I still have Frank Castle, too, because I'm just like, he's the best
those
part
two
of the
scenes.
Show.
Those two scenes.
Well, the third scene you didn't like, so I'm just saying, like, it's only two 66% of the scenes.
Yeah.
Fisk is three, but I'm like, even Fisk doesn't feel like a good answer.
No, most of the season, he's, like, whiny and annoying, to be honest.
So is Matt.
Yeah. But his, I preferred his angry turn to, like, Fisk's turn, to be honest.
That's fair.
It was all right.
MVV for the episode and then for the series.
I mean, this is easy, right?
Kingpin for the episode.
Yeah. Are you not putting Kingpin for the series?
I'm putting both sides. This is the best part.
Yeah, but one scene, I guess two scenes if you count like the prison break scene. Kingpin squashed somebody's head.
Yeah, that's why you got it for the episode. He didn't do jack shit the entire time. Then just fast
paced. I didn't do anything either, though. He just had one.
He killed Foggy.
Yeah,
he killed Foggy.
Kingpin became mayor of New York.
And
pretty villainous.
He didn't do jack shit with it until the very end.
Yeah, but he did do something at the end. Bullseye only did something in the beginning. Kingpin did something at the end.
He shot the hero. He shot the hero's friend.
I'm not budging on this one.
No, we got to make some changes. It has to be Bullseye.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, this is how I put the MVP, by the way.
Okay.
Bank robbers for five.
Nameless bank robbers, yes.
For five. They were paid off. Muse for four.
Could have been six.
Vanessa for three. Because she's kind of the kingpin of the show.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I get what you're saying.
Until they're just like, oh, they were working with each other the entire time.
Yeah.
Kingpin for two. And then I put Bullseye for one. But there is a cop-out answer here, Brandon. Meme.
What's the...
We could just say the Fisk as a couple.
That's true. The Fisks. I mean, they're basically one person already.
I mean, that was the cheers at the end with, like, the blood of, like, the snowy... Like, the white painting. Which I think is actually kind of dope now. It's... I don't know. Like, if we put those two together, I'd be like, okay, I guess, by default. I still think the most valuable villain is Bullseye, even if they didn't use him well.
I will say going through these lists makes me wonder about this season even more. Like, these were the most valuable villain, and, like, we're scratching the bottom of the barrel. Like, I mean...
Bank robbers, number five.
And Muse is so bad.
All right, I got a better one for you.
Okay.
Best new characters.
That.
I do have two.
Fisk henchman guy and Blake. That's Daniel Blake. Those two.
Oh, Cashman.
Yeah.
I put BB in there. And Daniel Blank.
Yeah. Yeah. But once again, like, nothing the whole
Sheila.
Show. And then second to last episode gets, like, a moment where you're like, oh, interesting. And
that was, like, the coolest moment of the whole show, let's be honest. BB's, like, little turn. Like, that was, like, the coolest, like, writing moment.
But it wasn't.
That was it, though.
Yeah, that was the extent of her.
I really wrote, like, best new character, and then I wrote none, because they all kind of sucked, except for BB and Daniel Blake. Really, that's my answer. Because I'm like, Cherry sucked. Kristen sucked.
I thought, I had high hopes for Cherry at first. I thought he was going to be, too. Like, useful. And then...
Kind of was.
He was useful, but, like, only... I don't know. It was, just... It's like they didn't know what to do with him. It's like they didn't know what to do with any of these characters.
I feel bad saying that Hector also sucked, too. Because, rest in peace, the actor who played him. And I thought he was actually really interesting, but...
He did a good job acting. Once again, not his fault. It was definitely a writing thing.
Yeah, they killed him off like a chump. Yep, and I'm now sad that he died in real life.
Yeah. They didn't give him anything to do. He was just, like, there. Like, if they just would have given us, like, yeah, they would have given us, like, some scenes of him, like, showing him, like, as him being a hero, aside from just, like, him trying to stop
standing there.
Cops, yeah. Right, yeah, disappointing.
There was so much of that in this, like, season where is my rating dropping as we're talking about this?
I feel like that's
3+3, 3-, yeah. Like, that's how I feel about it. You could,
yeah, when we're going back and talking about it,
you could talk me to a 2+ because, like, the writing itself doesn't make sense. How many times, and like, I understand that there's
the Vulture my nose,
like, I understand that, like, there's different creative teams, it just doesn't excuse.
No, it doesn't.
The season as a whole. It explains it, but it doesn't excuse it. It's a good reason for why the season's a mess. But just, there's so many things that happen that just get undone to the point where I'm like, I don't feel like the people who wrote this knew what they were doing. You know, like, even like the last two scenes, like, oh, new creative team, like, their actions don't make sense. Frank gets captured, gets released. Matt gets shot, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's just like so many things that just like, oh, Hector, he gets saved, gets shot. It's like, you do all these things, this work in the season.
Is he gonna kill Cole North or not? Dies anyways.
So many inconsequential stuff where it's like, it just seems like you're watching an event rather than, I don't know, like, it's not, nothing important is happening.
Like, the plot is just kind of happening to everybody around them.
Yeah, basically. And that's a sign of bad writing. So we'll see what season 2 brings. Yeah, 3+, maybe we're being generous because we wanted it to be good. And like, the it ended on an exciting moment.
Yeah, exciting is the way to put it, but it's still not necessarily like great. Definitely not masterpiece. That's all I can say about the show. Anybody
definitely
ask me? Not masterpiece.
Not a masterpiece. I did see, like, they're like, oh, it's better than Netflix season 2. And I'm like, is it though?
I think you convinced me otherwise. I think the ending is better than Netflix season 2.
Oh, yeah. Elektra
finale.
Being,
Elektra
dying and then coming back immediately.
Yeah. That whole.
Speaking of deaths, inconsequential deaths, at least that one had consequences, at least.
Yep. And the problem with season 2, not to get into that, but their lack of explaining anything or like trying making any actual sense out of what like the hand's plan is and stuff like that is a total detriment. They like try to keep it all so vague and like mysterious, but it just makes it not interesting.
True.
And that's beside the point, I suppose.
True. I mean, it's about as intricate as Wilson Fisk's plan.
Or which kind of does just get kicked into motion because of Bullseye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that is our review of Daredevil. Born Again, Episode 9, Straight to Hell. Not literally straight to hell like we were hoping and talked about. Like, no Mephisto. You know what? This season sucked because there wasn't Mephisto. Last little thing. Ratings for best MCU show. Because someone was saying that this is the best MCU show. I don't know if this cracks top 5.
Hit me with the top 5 real quick and I'll tell you all.
Agatha number 1.
Okay.
Loki number 2.
Okay. Yep.
WandaVision number 3. I don't really care about the rest enough for 4 and 5. Moon Knight maybe 4.
It was fun. Yeah. Although it also has kind of that inconsequential feel to like the MCU.
Yeah, and that's where it's like maybe Born Again is number 4. Above like Moon Knight, Hawkeye, Falcon Winter Soldier. It's one of those, it's better than those, kind of. Like, I could.
The highs are better, but those shows are, I feel like, were much more consistent. Even if they weren't, like, great, at least, like, the stories felt like. At least, I guess I haven't seen Hawkeye, but.
It's both relatively the same. It's fun.
But, like, I can't imagine that, like, they're as disjointed.
Yeah. I mean, if you count, like, Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, I don't know if I would, or X-Men, then it's definitely out of the top 5.
Oh, yeah.
Or What If, I think, is you would have to add it ahead of Born Again.
Maybe What If season one.
Yeah. But after that, it's just like, if you go by seasons too, I'm like, Loki season one and Loki season two is better than Born Again. So yeah, definitely. I would maybe put it four. Maybe it's above Hawkeye and Moon Knight and Falcon. Yeah. Winter Soldier, but I'm like, just barely. Yep. I almost don't.
The best MCU show.
I'm still trying to figure out where to put this show in, just rating wise. Because, like, the highs are high, but the lows, the inconsistency makes it lower. So
I almost feel like you could take this whole season and, like, chop it up to, like, a long movie, and it would be much better.
Oh, yeah.
Cut out so much of the nonsense, and it would flow way better.
Wonder if they would, could have done that. Who knows? Who knows? All right, now we are officially ending. Thank you, meme. We are out. This is our last until we do One Piece, whenever that is. And then from here on out, it is Last of Us season two on top of Andor. Season two, both shows that I rated higher than this one. So, all right. Thanks, everybody. This is your host, Jake Sherbing, signing off.